Christian friends, grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful privilege that we have in the gospel reading today, because in that reading we get to listen in as Jesus, the Son of God, speaks to God the Father in prayer. That's an amazing privilege. We can learn so much from that. But also, Jesus prays in that prayer for us. So we learn what God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit want for us. We're listening to communication between the persons of the Trinity. And as we listen to this prayer, we find out some wonderful things. Jesus wants us to be one with God and with each other. Now, Jesus prayed this prayer on the night of the Last Supper. He was with the disciples that night before the crucifixion. It was an amazing night as he washed the disciples' feet to give them an example of humble service. He gave them the Lord's Supper that night for the first time, established it for the church. And he prayed that wonderful prayer. And as Jesus prayed for the disciples that were gathered around the food with him, he said, "My prayer is not for them alone, but it's also for all who will believe in me through their message." So that includes you and me. The disciples preached the Word of God, and they wrote the Holy Scriptures of the New Testament. People believed the gospel that they proclaimed, and those people who believed passed it on to others who believed, and they passed it on to others who believed, and so it went down through the centuries until that word came to us. That word of the gospel and of God's love and saving power in Jesus, it came to us in our baptisms, and it comes to us in the preaching of the word. It comes to us in the Lord's Supper that we've just celebrated. Each one of us today is a link in a chain of faith and a witness that goes back to the apostles. Jesus was praying for us. And what did he pray for? He said, "May they be one as you, Father, and I are one." Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit have the highest unity that is possible. And only by each of us being one with the triune God can we have that kind of unity with each other that we can't achieve anywhere else, can't experience it, can't know it, can't be blessed by it, can only come to us through our gracious God. And it's the Word of God that he uses to build this miracle of unity in our lives. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So God causes us to hear the Word, and as we do, he ignites a flame of faith in our hearts so that we trust. We trust in Jesus. And where there's faith in Jesus, God lives. God takes up residence. He brings his kingdom into us as the faith in Christ is kindled in us. He joins us to himself and to each other through the Word. And that's why we need to continue hearing the Word of God throughout our lives. We need this to sustain our relationship with the Lord and unity with each other. That's why it's important for us to be in God's house hearing his word. Now notice another wonderful truth here. Jesus says that the unity of Christians will let the world know that God the Father sent Jesus. There are really two different kinds of Christian unity. One is the unity that we have as the family of God by being justified by God's grace through faith in Jesus. It's the unity that's immediate, it's perfect, It's complete. It results from us being justified, made right with God. The other kind of unity is a unity of sanctification. It's a growing more godly and more Christ-like. And as we do, we grow in our love for one another and the ways that we demonstrate and give that love to each other in service, in helpfulness, in kindness. This kind of unity comes as Christ more and more squeezes sin out of our lives and he makes us holier people who love each other. It's that second kind of unity that convinces the world that Jesus is really God and it's good to know him. When Christians love each other, when we treat each other with kindness and respect as brothers and sisters in Christ, it says to the world around us, this Jesus has power to change people in wonderful ways. It says Jesus really must be the Son of God if he can make people like this. A couple of weeks ago, I met a lady who told me a story. She said, I visited Mount Hope a few years ago, and I came there for the first time, and they were so good to me. They welcomed me. And they were so warm and caring. And she said, I decided right then I wanted to be a part of that congregation. I heard that story. You don't know as a pastor how much delight a pastor gets in hearing something like that. Pastor Ritter, I hope you take delight in that. This happened under your watch. But to hear that somebody was drawn by the love in a congregation, that's a wonderful thing. One time I was driving home from a conference and I was listening to the radio and I heard an ad for an organization called Voice of the Martyrs. It's an organization that helps Christians who are being persecuted around the world. In the ad, they told about a Christian pastor in North Korea who was thrown into prison there because he just wouldn't stop preaching about Jesus. And in the prison, this poor Christian pastor was beaten and tortured until he died. But through all of that suffering, he remained so loving that after his death, even some of the guards who had mistreated him wanted to become Christians too. Jesus said in John 13, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Showing the love and unity of Christ, that's a powerful witness to the world, and we should pray that the Lord helps us to do that. And then notice too that Jesus said to God the Father, you have loved them even as you have loved me. That to me is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. Listen to it again. You have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus is saying to God the Father, I know that you love them as much as you love me. How can that be? How much does God love Jesus? When he was baptized, and then on the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, we certainly weren't well pleasing to the Lord when we were born into this world. We come as a part of our fallen human race. We're born sinners with hearts that are turned against God. God can't say that about us, as we are in our own nature. We're not well-pleasing, we're sinners. But when the righteousness of Jesus is put on us in baptism, then God the Father can and does say the same thing about each one of us. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well-pleased. He can say that as much about you as he can about Jesus. What an amazing thing. because you are clothed with that righteousness of Christ. It's wonderful to listen in on this prayer. Jesus says to the Heavenly Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. That means that Jesus wants us in heaven. That's what our Lord was thinking about the night before he died, how he wants us in heaven with him. So we can be there as forgiven children of God, sharing the joy of the Father's house with him. And then Jesus says something that shows how he's the bridge between us and God. He says, Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you sent me. Well, how could the disciples know that? Because Jesus says, I revealed you to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be theirs and I myself may be in them. What this means is that Jesus shows us what God the Father is like. Jesus came down from God the Father by being incarnated as a human being, and in him we see the truthfulness of God the Father. He always spoke the truth. We see the love of God the Father for sinners. We see the hatred of God the Father for sin, especially hardness of heart and unrepentance toward God. We see in Jesus the desire that sinners should be brought out of their sin and into the kingdom. Jesus was willing to sit and eat and talk and be with sinners. We see in Jesus what the Father wants for us. All this we learn in this wonderful prayer. As I thought about this prayer that gives us a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven and the intercommunication of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I thought it's a little bit like seeing a different world. And you know, fishermen nowadays have wonderful underwater cameras that they can use to put down into the water on the lake and see exactly where the fish are and what they're doing, what kind of structure they're in, whether they're out and open or they're hiding, or can see a different world using that equipment. I'm old enough that I remember when I was a child and underwater movies that were filmed by divers began to come on television showing scenes of ocean depths with vast schools of multicolored fish, all kinds and sizes and shapes, moving around so easily and freely, darting in and out of coral under the water. It was an amazing sight. It was seeing a world that we hadn't seen before. Well, now, of course, these things are so common, maybe younger generations can't relate to them quite in that way, but to be able to get a glimpse of another world is an awesome thing, and that's what Jesus gives us in this prayer. He's giving us a window into the kingdom. And what we learn and what we see is that the three persons of the Trinity are one. And we see that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want us to be brought into that unity that they have, to share in its blessings and its joys. The oneness of heaven is a wonderful thing. Jesus came down to this earth to bring us into it. So may that will and that desire of God be fulfilled in us. May we be one in our Savior so that we can have the joy and God can have the glory that He desires as we experience oneness in Christ. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.